Yes, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, as we are inside the Quicken Loans studios. And in our next conversation, we are going to discuss what it takes to be a leader in the high-performing sports industry. Of course, this is an industry. It is a $750 billion business with many organizations generating just record revenues. Of course, we're thinking back earlier the week, you know, NBA with their massive new TV deal. And you certainly wonder, just many questions. I mean, what are going to be some of the consequences from it? I mean, is this a good thing? It's a huge infusion of cash, and the players' salaries are certainly going to be on the rise. Now joining us on our guest line is Adam Grossman. He is the co-author of The Sports Strategist and founder and president of Block 6 Analytics. He is driven by Stuart Cadillac. Stuart Cadillac, real people, real value, real simple. Good evening, Adam. It's nice to have you with us at Yahoo Sports Radio.
It's great to be here.
Well, let's start with the NBA as they announced this $24 billion, with a B, nine-year TV deal with ESPN and Turner. And I know it's enormous, but what does that mean, Adam, as we look ahead and perhaps some of the consequences of it? I mean, is this a win-win?
It's a win-win for the sports organizations. It's a slight loss for fans. So the way that the deal works is the deal increased the NBA media rights revenue by 180%. So it went from about $980 million a year to $2.6 billion a year. And what that means is that NBA teams have more money, the NBA owners have more money, the league has more money, the league has more opportunities to expand offerings. One of the unique parts about this deal is that ESPN is going to be offering a new digital streaming service in which you don't actually have to have a paid TV subscription. You'll be able to get new content and get content from ESPN about certain games strictly through mobile and digital channels without actually having to be an ESPN or a cable TV subscriber. So having access to new content, having teams have more money, having your favorite team potentially being able to sign players or sign more players or keep their superstars, those are all things that are really good for the NBA teams and for their fans. Obviously, with the rise in the amount that this in the rise of the television deal, that means the cost of your cable television package, if you're if you're a fan, if you're a bar, if you're a sponsor, if you're a media member, anybody who has actually a pay TV subscription, whether it's cable or satellite, will likely see their prices for their television go up. And the fact that, you know, these costs, especially for live programming, generally speaking, are passed on to the consumer. So while it's good probably for your team, that for your favorite team, you might see a little bit of pinch in your wallet and your bottom line.
Okay, Adam Grossman, the co-author of The Sports Strategist and founder and president of Block 6 Analytics, is joining us tonight on the Stuart Cadillac guest line. And you kind of break all the X's and O's down. It certainly validates, though, the brand of the NBA. I mean, this is the largest increase for a TV deal of any of the four other major sports.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting to look at the competitive position of the NBA while it was negotiating this deal. So what it had, it negotiated this deal in an exclusive two-year window that it had with ESPN and TNT at the time when TNT and ESPN have both announced they're looking for live content and content in general to drive future revenues for their stations, in particular the carriage fees that they have for cable operators. You know, if they're going to try to demand for larger carriage fees, they need to have the content that supports these fees. ESPN makes an estimate about $5.70 or $5.80 per month per cable subscriber. To justify those fees, they need to have the content. At the same time, the NBA was negotiating a deal when deals for the NFL, the NBA, Major League Baseball, pretty much every major college sports league except for the Big Ten Network, had deals in place until at least 2020. So the NBA was basically the only game in town as it was negotiating these deals. It had a really strong competitive position at a time when media rights deals are potentially at their zenith in terms of their value. So I think it does, I think going back to your original point, I think it does justify the brand, but the NBA is really smart in the way that it handled the negotiations in terms of negotiating the deal now with two companies that really needed content at the best time for them to see that they're trying to get content locked up for their future and for their carriage fees.
You know, Adam, the other thing that comes to my mind is, of course, the player salaries are going to increase, but this could prevent a lockout and any stoppage in the future. I mean, we think back to just a few years ago in 2011.
Actually, I think it, from the original analysis, is actually going to be the opposite. The players have the ability to opt out after the 2016-17 season. And I think the idea is that they're not sure exactly how this new revenue stream is going to work out. So the players, especially star players, including Kevin Durant, has mentioned that, you know, that the maximum salary for players' contracts should go up. Well, NBA owner Mark Cuban in Texas, obviously your neck of the woods, has said, well, if we're going to increase salaries, then we want to get rid of guaranteed contracts. And the NBA players definitely do not want to get rid of guaranteed contracts. You know, they've seen the impact of the lack of non-guaranteed contracts they've had with the NFL. So I think it actually, the more money there is to divide up actually could lead to the NBA players actually thinking about, you know, exercising their right to exit the collective bargaining agreement, especially because they think, you know, the large perception is, rightly or wrongly, that they did not do well in the 2011 negotiations where the amount of money that was available to players decreased on average by about $300 million a year league-wide.
Well, it'll be very interesting to see and watch how the pie will be divvied up. And right now we are going one-on-one with Adam Grossman. He is joining us on the Stuart Cadillac guest line. He is the co-author of The Sports Strategist, founder and president of Block 6 Analytics. And there's no doubt, as you state in your book, I mean, in The Sports Strategist, the sports industry, it is a dynamic environment, and it is one of the most challenging and fascinating businesses in the world. Tell us about the book that you teamed up on.
Yeah, so our book started off with a relatively simple relatively simple principle, and the fact that most sports organizations, most sports leagues, or most people when they're looking at sports organizations say, you know, a team needs to be successful on the field, on the ice, on the court in order to achieve financial success. So not only do we prove that that's not true, citing examples ranging from the Chicago Cubs and their identity as the lovable losers to the Glasgow Rangers, which is a Scottish Premier League football team or soccer team, in which it won a record 54 league championships over basically a 100-year period. And after it won its 54 title, it declared bankruptcy because it was using what was considered to be an illegal tax scheme to finance and pay for their players and for their coaches. So the idea here is if winning is not the only thing you can rely on to have a successful business, what are the factors you can rely on, especially given some of the topics that we've talked about? You know, as media rights deals come into play, as player costs continue to increase, as, you know, sports organizations, whether professional, collegiate, or high school, are looking at potentially new revenue, new costs, how to attract fans, how to make sure, you know, fans really get to the stadiums. That's another huge issue. In an age when there's so much technology and when it's so easy to sit at home and watch your favorite team, and obviously as organizations like ESPN, TNT, and Time Warner are signing these massive media rights deals, how do you still get fans and media and sponsors to come to your venues and attend your games? For a large majority of sports organizations, media rights deals will play an important part of their revenue streams, but in-game attendance, in-game concessions, parking, all those things are going to contribute to major revenue streams, if not the major revenue stream for organizations. So, and then the last thing we really like to focus on, or we really wanted to focus on, is crisis management. Given everything that's gone on in the NFL and
right.
with the NBA,
also,
you know, those are areas we want to put in front of our readers. What are the key issues going on in the sports industry? How can you analyze those issues, and how can you potentially create novel approaches to deal with those problems?
Well, you hit on a number of things, and that's one of the questions I had for you today, was about connecting with the fans on a deeper level. I mean, we've discussed this many times on our show in college football, some of the changes and the trends that we're starting to see take place, obviously better Wi-Fi in stadiums, and enhancing the overall fan experience.
Yeah, exactly. And again, connecting these concepts is something we argue for in the book. You know, the most successful sports strategist is somebody who, you know, there's been a lot of specialization, not just in the sports industry, but in other industries as well, where people have becoming more and more laser focused on their specific job function or their specific thing that they're looking at. When you need to, you know, a lot of times you need to take a more holistic approach. For example, with the NFL, or with the NBA, with Donald Sterling, you know, you can see how the NBA responded and the reason that they created a lifetime ban and acted so quickly with Donald Sterling in the fact that you could look at the economic components of crisis. The Clippers were getting, you know, a lot of sponsors were threatening to leave the Clippers. The Clippers were one of the most economically successful franchises in the NBA. Having somebody who could compromise those revenue streams based off the crisis he generated is something to, you know, something that we really examined in more detail in some of the blog posts that we've written, in addition to some of the topics we've covered in the book. So the idea here is, how do you see the integration of these different concepts? How do you apply those different concepts? And how do those apply to your job, whether you're interested in the sports industry or working in a different industry as well?
Okay, we are visiting with Adam Grossman tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He is joining us on the Stuart Cadillac guest line. I think one of the things that we need to point out too, Adam, is that how paramount it is to capitalize on the technological assets and rewarding the fans. That's the bottom line. You got to take care of your fans.
Absolutely, and I think that's where technology really has a large availability or a large ability to impact the sports industry. one of the things that really has come into play in the sports industry is there's so much more data, whether it's through social media, whether it's through dynamic ticket pricing, whether it's through sponsorships. There's so much more information available to sports teams, and sports teams need to use that information in order to encourage fans to be, in order to encourage fans to participate with those organizations. So one of the things we've talked about in a blog post that we recently published for Forbes is, you know, the use of technology with Major League Baseball, in particular iBeacon technology. So basically that technology sends deals directly to fans that they're really interested in based on their past purchasing behavior and based on things that activities they've participated while at the venue. So, you know, if you want to know where your favorite concession is, if you want to know, you know, if you want to buy for your son and daughter the jersey of your favorite player, if you want to even know where the closest, you know, restroom is, so you can make sure that when you do buy a concession that you're not standing in a long line to use the restroom, or you can find a restroom quickly. All those things add up to a better fan experience. And using technology to drive people to the venue and using technology to engage people with an organization is absolutely critical to be successful in the sports industry.
Okay, you're listening to the voice of Adam Grossman. He's the co-author of The Sports Strategist, founder and president of Block 6 Analytics. Of course, he is joining us on the Stewart Cadillac guest line. I think one of the things, my takeaways from the book, too, is, you know, winning for an organization is not the only factor. I mean, and you pointed out the Florida Marlins. I mean, that doesn't necessarily translate into long-term success. You've got to be able to do it in other ways, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And part of what we argue for in the book, using the example of the Marlins, you know, of the Marlins, they've won two titles. They won two titles in a relatively short amount of time. But then when they tried to integrate and build a new stadium, they didn't necessarily factor in some of the things we would consider when, you know, making a place marketing decision for a sports organization. In particular, the stadium that they built, using public funds, was placed in a location that's really difficult to get to by both by public transportation and by, you know, just driving your car. There's a very limited amount of parking that's available. So, you know, just having a location, thinking about the location of a new venue is absolutely critical when you're thinking about potentially building a new venue. And some of the, you know, one of the venues we talk about in the book is the Verizon Center in Washington, D.C., which was built downtown in an area that, you know, an area that has been revived because largely because of the Verizon Center. And the Verizon Center is successful because it's at the intersection of where the Metro, which is the public transportation system that's in D.C., it's right near a bunch of Metro subway stops. It's right near Capitol Hill. It's where the Capitol is, obviously, and where a bunch of people live and work in D.C. Giving that access to people so they don't necessarily need to have their own cars. It's easy access by public transportation, and it really integrates with the neighborhood, in this case, the Chinatown neighborhood that's existed in Washington, D.C.
Adam Grossman, the co-author of The Sports Strategist and founder and president of Block 6 Athletics. It is a very well-written book, and of course, he's been joining us on the Stewart Cadillac guest line for the latest details and models. Check them out at stewartcadillac.com. Adam, it's a pleasure, and I promise we will be back in touch with you again real soon. It always seems like crisis management is at the forefront nationally, so we'll extend the invitation once again, okay?
Yeah, that would be great. Hopefully there's not a crisis, but it'd be great for that stuff.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, on this Friday night.